I learned so much from those guys, watching the way they play. We're going to talk a little bit about play today. You know, play is a great teacher, right? Play is a very, very good teacher. It's always been that way, that we've learned really well from playing, from having toys, from playing a game. Like, for instance, you give a child a doll, they're going to learn how to parent someday. You give a kid a video game, well, you're preparing them for their future when they're going to be staring in front of a computer screen throughout their careers. The game Monopoly, it got really popular in the 1930s. Why? Because it was the Great Depression, and they were trying to teach kids how to save money, how to make a fortune, okay? Frank Lloyd Wright, you've heard of him before, he was a great architect. His son invented Lincoln Logs. Did you know that? Frank Lloyd Wright's son, he invented Lincoln Logs. Why? Because he wanted to teach children the basics of architecture and construction. That's pretty cool, huh? Legos, who loves Legos? Oh, Pastor Paul loves Legos. Pastor Paul loves Legos. Lego is a Danish toy, and in Danish, leg godt means play well, because the inventor of Legos wanted us to learn how to play well with others. Isn't that a cool thing, right? I love that. I don't know what the slinky is supposed to teach children, but I do know this, that playtime is prime learning time. Raise your hand if you are a teacher or were a professional teacher. Do kids learn well when they're playing games? Can I get an amen? Okay, all right. Playing time is prime learning time. Now today's scripture, Jesus compares the ministry of John the Baptist and his own ministry to a couple of kids who are trying to get all the other children in the neighborhood to play the same game, okay? Let that metaphor sink in for a little bit, because we've heard this parable before, but we don't often think about what it actually means. Jesus is saying that he and John were trying to get everyone to play a game that would bring them to salvation. John the Baptist, he invited everyone to mourn like they were at a funeral. And Jesus invited everyone to celebrate like they're at a wedding. Their game plan was not just idle play. They had a lesson plan in mind that if you play along with them, we're going to learn what it is to repent and what it is to experience grace and forgiveness. The religious leaders sat on the sidelines and they refused to play John and Jesus' game. The Pharisees wanted to be the referees. The teachers of the law wanted to be in control of the game. John the Baptist and Jesus tried to include them into this learning game, but the religious leaders refused to participate. Today's story reminds us that nobody can be saved unless they come to Jesus with the faith of a child. So let's turn to chapter 7 in the Gospel of Luke, verses 31 through 35, and let's hear the good news that God is preparing you for eternal life right now with a game of repentance and forgiveness. Hear the good news. Jesus went on to say, "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, 'We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by all her children." God's word. So when I was young, we would sing a couple songs on the playground. Maybe you know these songs. Sing along if you know the words. "Ring around a rosy, pocket full of posies. You sang that as a kid? We sang, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by the toe if he hollers. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, right? In this, today's story, Jesus is using a similar childhood rhyme to tease his critics. That's what he's doing when he says, we played the pipe for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry. That's a childhood song. What Jesus is doing is he's taunting the religious leaders. He's comparing them to a bunch of children who refuse to play the game that he wants them to play. Now, in biblical times, children did not have Legos. True story. Children did not have Lincoln Logs. Tragic. Children did not have Xbox Ones. I know, horrifying thought, right? Children had to invent their own game. And so when mom and dad would go to the market to buy things or sell things, the kids would tag along with mom and dad, and they would see their friends, right? And they would play games. They would make stuff up. They had to entertain themselves. Some of you are going, yeah, that's the way it should be. I don't know. I had Lincoln Logs. I had Legos. I had an Atari. They didn't have Xboxes in those days. Today's parable of the children in the marketplace reminds the people then, and it reminds us now, that we were all once children, that we all learned together, and we all played together. And if you play the game, you're going to understand, okay? Now, sometimes when the kids went to the marketplace, they would play the game funeral. I know, that's really weird, right? You're like, what? Funeral? It's an odd game to play. This was especially important for the girls to practice for funerals because in that time, in that culture, girls and then women were expected to have a great emotional reaction at a funeral. They were supposed to beat their breast. They're supposed to weep and wail at the funeral. This is true. Check this out. When their husbands died, women didn't have any means to support themselves. So widows would go from funeral to funeral, and they would weep their eyes out, and they would cry, and they would make a great big show until someone gave them a few coins, and they would go away. All right? This is the truth. This is what women were expected to do in that time and culture. So when children in the marketplace would find a dead grasshopper, they would give that bug a decent burial. They would weep, they would wail, they would pretend to cry. They would practice for when they are grown up and they're going to have to act a certain way at a funeral. It's a weird game, right? But that's something that they actually would do in that culture. But it wasn't just funerals. Sometimes the children would play the game of wedding. And this was especially important for boys. That might sound weird to some of you, that the boys wanted to play wedding instead of whacking each other with sticks or chasing after a ball. But no, they played wedding. Why? Because in that time, in that culture, it was really important for the guys to dance, a circle dance at weddings, okay? These boys grew up watching their dads, who were really respectable religious men, right? But when they got to weddings, they cut loose, and they had fun with their friends, and they danced, and they didn't care how they looked. They danced like no one was looking, and so these boys knew they had to do that someday. And so someone bring along a pipe, and they would dance in their street while mom and dad were shopping, and they would learn how to dance. So when they grew up and they went to a wedding, they would know the right steps. Children, they played funerals, they played wedding. In today's parable, Jesus is scolding the religious leaders of the day for acting like a bunch of disobedient children. Instead of playing along and learning something like the good little children, the religious leaders complained from the sidelines. They didn't want to play funeral. They didn't want to play wedding. They thought John the Baptist was too gloomy. They thought Jesus was too joyful. They didn't like anything, and they weren't going to play. Yeah. Jesus is comparing the religious leaders of the day to a bunch of spoiled brats. Anyone who would have read this parable in the ancient world would have known instantly what Jesus was talking about. Oh, they are being rotten little children. These Pharisees, these teachers of the law, these people who thought they were so mature and respectable were acting childish. The real issue was that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law wanted to make the rules. They wanted to control the game. They didn't like the way that John and Jesus played the game. Now, John the Baptist, he came as serious as a funeral procession. John didn't bury grasshoppers. John ate grasshoppers as a sign of his repentance. He did not eat bread. He did not drink wine. He ate bugs and honey as a visible sign that he is saying, "Whoa, I'm unworthy. Whoa, we are a country full of sinners." Crowds flocked to John the Baptist, but members of the religious establishment accused John of being possessed by a demon. They totally missed it. Now, John was out there preaching hellfire and brimstone sermons, and he demanded repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And when the religious leaders wouldn't play along, he called them a brood of vipers, which means they were the children of snakes. Talk about a childhood taunt. Jesus, on the other hand, came as joyful as the groom at a wedding. Jesus spent a lot of time going to parties. He feasted with tax collectors and sinners. He changed water into wine at the wedding of Cana. The holy people slandered Jesus. They called him a glutton and a drunkard, which, by the way, were capital offenses according to the law of Moses. Okay, you could die for being a drunkard and a glutton. They were basically saying, this guy deserves to die for acting this way. And sure enough, he did hang out with a pretty unsavory group of people. And Jesus got so frustrated with these Pharisees and these teachers of the law complaining about him, he gave this other parable, this other analogy, that he was like the groom at a wedding. And the father sent out his servants to invite all the honored guests to come to the wedding. And they all refused to come to the party. They all refused to come to the wedding celebration. So he sent the servants out into the street to invite everyone and anyone to come to the party. The Bible says both the good and the bad. The guest list to heaven got a lot more interesting, because the people who were expected to be there said no thanks. And Jesus spent his ministry bringing as many people as he could to God the Father Almighty. Come on in. You're welcome to the party. Come party with Jesus. The point of today's story is that some people will never join this game of repentance and forgiveness unless they get to make the rules. First, the leaders said that John was too strict. Then they said that Jesus was too lenient. They were so insistent on being right that they heard the preaching of John, they heard the preaching of Jesus, and they rejected it. I mean, haven't you longed at some point to just be there when John was preaching or Jesus was preaching? They were right there. And they let the kingdom of God go right over their heads because they wanted to be in control. They didn't want to play the game that Jesus was offering. They wanted to choose the game. They wanted to set the rules. They were judgmental. They were self-righteous. They thought they were mature. And they totally missed the game. Now, Jesus was quite clear that his followers were not to be judgmental like the religious leaders of his day. Jesus said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Is that clear to everyone? We all get that? Cool. When Jesus caught the woman, or when Jesus found the woman who was caught in adultery, and they were going to kill her, Jesus said, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Guess what? No one was without sin. No one killed this woman. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Jesus makes it really clear that we're not supposed to be judgmental of other people, right? I think that deserves an amen. Can I get an amen? Jesus said no one gets to be self-righteous. Amen? Amen. None of us do. Jesus makes this abundantly clear. So why is it that this generation, the new generation, the millennial generation, thinks that Christians are so judgmental? There's a recent Barna study that asked millennials a bunch of questions about why it is they don't go to church. They responded, only 8%, this many, 8% don't go to church because they think that church is out of date. 8%. 31% don't go to church because they think it's boring. I'm working on that. I'm sorry. I'm trying the best I can. But that's still the vast minority don't go to church because they think it's boring. Millennials are not skipping church because they think that this game of repentance and forgiveness has no meaning in their lives. But 70% of millennials say that Christians are insensitive to others. 85% of our young people today think that Christians are hypocritical. Guilty. I try to practice with what I preach, but I don't always do. I'm trying. I'm judgmental sometimes myself. And a whopping 87% of young people see Christians as judgmental. 87%. What these studies show is that young people, hi young people, are not necessarily looking for a hipster church with a pastor wearing skinny jeans. Thanks be to God. But our young people, your classmates, your friends, they're happy to play this game of repentance and forgiveness. They're just sick and tired of feeling like they're being judged from the sidelines by people who call themselves Christians, people who say they believe in Jesus, but they don't follow those words about not judging other people, not condemning other people. Maybe that's why Jesus compared John's ministry of repentance and his own ministry of forgiveness to a great big game. Christians ruin the game whenever we turn repentance and forgiveness into a competitive sport. Jesus never asked us to crush the opposition with our own righteousness, okay? Jesus is talking about duck, duck, goose here. He's not talking about football here, all right? Jesus is saying, let's play a game like little children, like these little children that dance for us, these little children that learn with us, with that kind of humility. Those are the children of the marketplace. That's what Jesus is comparing us to. Jesus wants Christians to invite all of our friends and all of our loved ones to join in this marvelous game where we turn from our sins and we discover God's forgiveness. But the only way that's going to happen is if we play well with others. And we actually welcome people in to the repentance and the forgiveness of God. When you think of it, Jesus is asking us to play a very, very simple game. Rule number one, when you mess up, apologize. Apologize to God, apologize to the person you hurt, okay? First rule, easy? Right. Second rule, receive the forgiveness of God and offer that grace to the people in your lives. Simple so far? Here's the third rule, and this is where we get it all messed up. Don't think you're better than anyone else. Don't ever think you're even a little bit better than anyone else because you sin this way and they sin that way. That third rule, that's the stickler, isn't it? I know, I'm not going to point my finger at you. I'm going to point the three fingers pointing back at me. I'm going to look at my own self here. I know that I mess up this game sometimes when I forget that I'm supposed to be playing the game. I'm not supposed to be a referee of this game, okay? In my life. I find that when I act like a referee and I don't act like I'm playing the game, that's when I goof it all up, okay? I can tell you from personal experience that I tend to get judgmental when I tend to focus on the mistakes of others when I'm not asking God to forgive me for my mistakes, okay? That's when I notice everyone else's mistakes. I tend to deny grace to others when I forget to ask God once again, one more time, to give me His grace. And I tend to think that I'm in charge when I neglect to humble myself before Jesus Christ. I think all of us retreat to the sidelines now and again so we could catch our breath and we can judge how other people are doing. That's when we spoil the game. That's when we give Christianity a bad name. It's when we think we know more, when we think we're better. Nobody in this game of repentance and forgiveness has all the right answers. Nobody in this game gets to act holier than thou. Nobody in this game wins when other people lose. Jesus wants everybody to join this great and glorious game of repentance and forgiveness. But we will never understand how to play unless we come to Jesus with the humility of a child. Jesus never asked you to be the referee, and Jesus never asked you to enforce all the rules. All that Jesus expects from you is that you acknowledge your own mistakes, that you ask for God's grace, and you let Jesus be the judge of the living and the dead. That's the only way that this generation will ever get to join God's marvelous game.